Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. This episode is with Mario and Andreas from Levitas Hydrofoil. They joined us to share how they found wind, so their personal wind passion stories, the history of Levitas, how the company got started, and the tricks behind making a really fast foil. So I hope you enjoy this episode. It was super interesting. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to last week's episode, it was an official gear release episode from North Foils. We talked with Mike Raper and Hugh Pinfold all about their brand new modular track system called North Shift Lock. And they also were releasing their Nova Pro, so we talked about that as well. We had some good reviews on the episode so far, so I really do hope that you enjoy that one as well. Now, don't forget, if you want to support our show, there are multiple ways to do so. The easiest way is to follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and on your favorite podcast provider like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. Those do go a long way and help our show grow. If you want to help out in the day-to-day, visit winglifepodcast.com and click on support us to donate a few dollars or jump on a monthly subscription. We appreciate your support and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to the Wing Life Podcast, where we talk about wing foiling and the lifestyles of those who enjoy this great sport. All right. Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for joining me today. Pretty excited to talk to you. I met your team in Hood River. And we're stoked to learn more about your foils because I've heard they're fast and they're very well engineered. So I'm kind of excited to get into all that with you both.
Thanks for the roses. We're also looking forward to give you a brief overview about our lineup, how we develop foils, and what's the background, what Levitas, how it all started, and what the future will bring us.
Yeah, welcome to the both. Who wants to get started first? I would love to learn a bit of both about you, find out when did you first find this magical thing called wind?
Yeah, so let's jump straight into it.
Sure, Mario, why not?
I'm maybe the co-founder of Levitas. So for me personally, I was always attracted by wind and water sports. So from my childhood on, so I started in an optimist as many water sports men and women. And yep. Then I swapped to laser and regatta sailing. And at the age of 12, besides sailing, I started windsurfing. And this really got me hooked. So I really like this freedom and going in waves and wind. It was really a great time. And I actually never thought that it will come even better than this. And I started kiting in 1999.
Oh, cool.
Way back. And I got into contact with foiling my first time in France during European Championships in 2009. It was on the west coast of France in Tournanet. And in this time, most of the kiters were on directional race boards. Also, I was on such a race board, and there I saw the first kite foilers, and it looked just magic, like they flew over the surface, and I got immediately hooked, and in the same year, I bought myself one of the first hydrofoils. It was an American brand. I was excited, as I expected, and but on the other hand, I was a bit disappointed about the slow speed, and it felt still a bit draggy, and it was vibrating, and I thought it could be way better. I started digging into the hydrodynamic and all this stuff, and I did also always some board building, and so I tried to build some foils and started with it, and I got better. And I remember there was a scenery in France there were a couple of guys who developed foils, and I was, in the German, Austrian, Switzer region.
Okay.
And we exchanged each other, and we organized, or the French guys were more involved. They organized the first championships in kite foiling back in 2012, and it was in south of France in La Ciotat.
Oh, awesome.
And we were about 60 people. And it was a really good atmosphere. So everybody showed what he's making in his garage, and we were competing against each other. It was really great. And I saw my parts were working really nicely. And I was looking for a manufacturer after this, and I contacted different manufacturers, but they all were very skeptic, and they thought, oh, this won't, there's no market, and it's a bigger investment. So I was not successful in these days. And a year later, there was the America's Cup 2013, and we saw these catamarans flying in San Francisco. And from these days on, the interest was rising. Everyone wanted to fly. And then I had some offers, and I got into contact with Adrian and the company of Geislinger. Mm-hmm. And yes, this is in my hometown, actually. So, and we said, let's make something out of it. And these were the days where Levitas was born, and we're still working together. And it's a great time. So I'm still excited, like on the first day.
That's cool. Hey, thanks for sharing that with us. Hey, Andreas, I guess it's a good time for you to take in.
First, introduce myself. I have the engineering background. I studied engineering 10 years ago. But developing is always my passion. Also, as a child, I used to design and fly RC planes. I was competing with RC planes and managed it to get Austrian championship a long time ago.
So, oh, wow, congrats.
Wind, thermals, fluid dynamics has been always a passion of mine. Then I got to the university, where I was more in the production direction. But then I started at Geislinger 11 years ago as an R&D engineer for composite fiber parts. The company Geislinger, which is behind Levitas, has a long tradition on producing carbon fiber parts. Geislinger, let's make a step back. Geislinger is known for its drivetrain solutions. We are equipping fast ferries with carbon shafts, container ships, heavy industry, big engines with specialized products, and we're very good in solving problems customer has with the drivetrains. So we're also equipping windmills with couplings, container ships, mining trucks, everything that's big and special, where there's no other solution than our solution. And wind and water is also what we need for hydrofoils. And of course, the passion of the managing director is water sports. And that's why he was also so fascinated, like Mario, on hydrofoiling and the America's Cup back then. Was in beyond, and so the whole project started, and the sport was in a really early age, so we had the possibility to be part of the sport from the beginning, and we see how the sport developed, and now we are going to the Olympics.
And really emotional product coming to this company.
Yeah,
with this
absolutely.
Whole technical know-how. Yeah, it's a good cooperation.
Absolutely. What was your background, Mario, in work-wise, industry-wise?
So I'm actually a physiotherapist. Oh. So I studied sports before physiotherapy. But always, as I wanted to become a teacher, I always wanted to teach physics and sports. And yeah, but my profession is physiotherapist, and the physics came through the back door again. So,
there you go.
So, yeah, it's just a sort of a side profession, and yeah, hobby that got a side profession working with the company of Geislinger.
That's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Well, hey, thanks both of you guys for sharing that kind of thing with us, just to get to know you a little bit more. And so how was the week in Austria? Is there anything that we can talk about? I know I want to get into your history and everything, but just how does it feel like to just be there and working on these products and knowing that there's so many people that get to just, because it's the only time they have sometimes, right? They have 2 hours a day. They want to go out and have some fun. Before we get into the technicals of your brand, how does that make you guys feel?
The feeling in Austria is at the moment we have gray sky and rainy weather. It's not too warm, but we are also very keen on foiling. So actually we foil the whole year as long as we have beyond 5 degrees Celsius. We get in our dry suits and go in the lakes as soon as we have wind.
Oh, nice. Okay.
For me personally, it's kind of an off season now. So I'm foiling for 5 to 6 years from now. I started directly with foiling. So I didn't ride a twin tip or something else. I started kiting and foiling. It was a pain, but it was a good decision to just start foiling. And I like this kind of seasons, like summer, winter, and something in between. And so now for me is kind of season ending. It's getting colder. The days are getting shorter. You have more, it's more calm. You're not that active anymore. You can focus more on your business stuff and on the new projects at the moment. This is what's really fascinating at the moment. Looking forward to what's coming next.
Yeah. Developing and materializing ideas is really a passion what we share. So, and yeah, especially winter time is when you think of how to improve. And the moment we have actually a very intense time because we're looking forward to the next Olympic cycle, where the registration date is in February, and we're really, in a hot time of developing.
Okay, getting ready for that. So let's get right into it then. Let's walk through the basics of how your gear started, where it's at, and the progression. I would love to hear all about it.
Yeah, we're already looking a long way back, as we started in 2013. I came into the company with a type which was close to the Aspect 1. It's not on the market anymore. But we spent a lot of time for developing the intersection, how we connect these things together and get a stiff connection system. And then we evolved and our portfolio got bigger and bigger. And actually, racing was almost all over the time our interest. So we were always in contact with very good races because of my past. Mm-hmm. And my past of regatta sailing, I was in contact with races, and I wanted to make the best gear for these guys. And
this was really interesting. We developed the Aspect foil. We had a foil where we make some assumptions and We tried some stuff, but then we had the foil. And then at that moment where it was on the market, everything began from new. So how can we make it faster? How can we make it more in this direction? And we did calculations, we did investigations, but we were not sure. So we got in a direction that at the when we look now at it, it was like hilarious, riding a really small, thin back wing with an ultra long fuselage. It was drag wise, it was perfect, but control wise, it was not perfect.
Yeah, and that's right.
From this moment, you had so many things you can improve, you can look at, and steps by steps, we made hydrofoiling better, more easy to ride, faster.
Actually, we learn with every wing, with every foil we make, we learn something new. So the empiric part is quite big, actually, because of course we have expectations and we make a lot of simulations, hydrodynamic and mechanical, and we work with the feedback of our team riders. But with every foil we make, we learn something new, and this helps us in improving.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, and then you've been doing it for quite a while. So I guess, do you find there's still incredible increments of knowledge and learning every single year? Do you find, is it speeding up still?
It's slowing down.
Is it? Okay.
It's slowing down, but don't forget that we didn't develop a race foil. We didn't bring something on the market for 3 years now, race foil-wise, just in the other direction, but we didn't make the same product different because it was freezed for the Olympic cycle. And we are now developing a new product with a knowledge of 3 years developing. So all the small steps together can make a huge step again.
Yeah. Actually, the improvements, of course, were in the beginning. It was quite steep. And now the curve will flatten, of course. You need more and more effort to be a little better. But on the other hand, all the team riders or the races, they're getting a lot better and they're getting close. And so even small improvements are crucial, actually. So, yeah, still exciting.
Now, talking about racing, what do you mean that it freezes? So I'm assuming, can we walk through a little bit about what that Olympic cycle looks like for you guys and let the public know how that works?
So our R5 is, or the actually two of our R5 race wings are IKEA registered. This means that the design and the manufacturing procedure is fixed. It cannot be changed for the cycle from the current cycle is from 2020 to 2024 until the coming Olympics. And there are very small measurement tolerances because the goal is to every customer gets the same foil. So therefore it has, it's the design is freezed, the manufacturing procedure is freezed, the material you use is freezed. So this foil, the R5, is the same as in the beginning. But beside this, we are working on the next cycle, which starts in 24 now and lasts till 28 for the Olympics in LA.
Okay. All right. Can we talk a little bit about what changes you're making, or is that still behind the curtain a little bit?
The most important thing actually is that you have really top riders who can push it to the edge. So I do kite foiling, but these guys, they're just in another universe. But the challenge is to translate what the rider needs into the design. And I think my advantage is, as I practice this myself, maybe I know a little bit better than other manufacturers how to materialize the needs of the riders. So this is what I try to make best.
And try to do best for them. No, that makes sense. What is the secret behind an extremely fast foil? This will probably be a multi-part answer.
Two questions out of it. How to yes. make one fast foil and how to make 100 fast foils.
Yes.
This is where we are good in, I think so. So we have the production background from our company. We have the quality system. And I think Mari will talk about making one fast foil, and I'm going to talk about making 100 fast foils.
100%. Yes.
So, yeah, I can show you the R5.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to see it.
So I get one. Here you see the front wings of the R5 series. And this is the R5. I come closer to the camera. The front wing and... obviously what you see first is the steel part in the middle. Mm-hmm. And this took really quite some time and some prototypes to make it work. And I think it's really the stiffest part on the one hand, and but on the other hand, with the smallest diameter you can get. The big advantage of steel is that it's an isotrope material. This means that it has the same strength in every direction in comparison to the carbon fibers. They always have the best strength just in the direction of the fiber. And it's very important for a fast foil that you have a very stiff connection system from the wing to the fuselage, to the mast, to the board, and to the rider. So you have to have a very direct feeling. You have to imagine that these guys go up to 40 knots in races, and they have to feel every little turbulence and have to react on it. And it's very, very important that this is an extended body part. So they don't feel their gear anymore. It feels like a body part of them. So they train, hundreds of days a year, and they grow together with this with their race gear.
Okay, can we take a look at that a little bit in more detail and see how? How your front wing bonds to your fuse?
The steel part is glued into the front wing. And here we have a box system.
That's perfect.
The mast is will be fixed with two screws. And here we have a special feature on the back. We connect the fuselage, which is one part with the back wing, to the steel part. With a screw.
Oh, interesting.
Bolt. And we have a trimming system here in the back. There are two trim screws, and it's possible to trim the back wing to your needs or to the conditions for 0.8 degrees, which is quite a lot for a race wing. No other race wing has this option on the market.
Yeah. Fast foil means low drag, and the back wing makes drag. It pushes down. The front wing has to produce more lift. So you want to have as less as downforce on the back wing as possible. So you don't have the extra drag of the back wing. And this is why you can adjust the angle. You can go to a point where you can still control it, but you have as minimum angle on the back wing as you can ride.
And oh, wow. Okay.
If the condition changes, if there is more turbulence in the water, if there are some dust in the water, the riders feel this kind of water. They feel how the water is. Is it warm? Is it cold? Salt or sweet water? And if the water is more draggy, you need more angle on the back wing because the drag gives an extra momentum that the back wing has to push against.
And okay.
With this trimming system, the two screws, you can adjust the angle even on the water if you are skilled, and you can find your perfect balance. And in the beginning, we started with our trimming system with the maximum. Most riders were on maximum angle of attack because they want to have the control, the pressure on the front foot. But now, when they get more skilled, and they are really skilled, so they can decrease the angle on the back wing, and the muscle memory and muscle reactions are faster now than 2 years before. So they can decrease the angle, and so they have less drag on the back wing.
Okay, but that'll become a lot
bigger
more
angle,
skatier.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a bigger angle, you get the more locked feeling. There are still some riders, they prefer this locked feeling. And the less angle you have, the more agile it gets around all axes, actually. But you need really good reflexes to go with this.
Now, relating to speed, does obviously the less drag, so they will get how much faster are they getting with their foil looser and having less of that back tail pressure? Does it make significant difference in the speed?
We can tell because we
calculated that 4% of drag is like 25 seconds on the race course, something like that. And 25 seconds with the speed, it's a huge gap, but it's all over the race course. You don't, when you compare it next to next, you won't feel much difference, but in the sum of the whole race course.
It makes a difference.
Yeah,
okay. Good to know.
Yeah, it's always, I think the ride, of course, is the most important part. And he has to adapt to his skills and to the conditions, and he will be fastest, which he feel most comfortable and safe and reliable. So, yeah.
Sure. Now, relating that to wing foiling, because we have all these wing foilers from everywhere, are you using the same system for your entire wing foiling division?
Yes.
Plus, there is an extra wing for wing foiling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have actually a whole series of the R5 wings. And as you know, probably Mattis Chiu is dominating the racing. And he mostly rides the R5, the R5S, and the R5SX. We have two other wings. So depending on the course and conditions.
In light wind, he's using the 710. And I can also recommend using the 710 for waves.
Yeah, it's really nice. It has so such a good glide, and it's nice to riding in swell. It feels like almost no drag.
And on the 710, we are also using a titanium fuselage to make it lighter.
Oh, okay. All right. And then you're having the same shimming system with the screws rather
with
than...
It's the same shimming system with the two screws here and here.
Oh, wow.
So you can play on the angle of the back wing.
Oh, wow. Now let's go into manufacturing, because I follow a couple different big companies and they're saying making prototypes is the easy part. Manufacturing on a mass scale is difficult.
prototyping for us, it's not easy. It's not fast. We are We are small, big company, something in between. We have a huge machine park, and we have workload on the machines. And you cannot say, here's my part and I want to produce it. You have to plan everything. You have to wait for parts to be produced. That's the negative, but the positive is, if I say I want to make three different wings, I will have them faster. If I say I want to have one wing, I can make three wings in almost the same time, like I make one wing. So if we decide we make a prototype, it takes us long, but then when we once have the prototype, we are fast with making variations of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's always a CNC mold, actually. So we're working on other procedures to get faster, but we're still developing and finding methods to manage it. But till now, every prototype is CNC milled.
We are always going into a mold that is also for the serial production, because we think only with this quality we can have the best possible feedback from the prototype. If we will do a less quality mold, it always will affect the performance of the wing. You won't have the same wing like if you do a proper mold. And production-wise, the question before was making one fast foil, and now I'm going to talk a little bit about making 100 fast foils.
Yes.
So production, we have our company has to have a certain quality system. So we are quality controlled by companies. So we can guarantee a level of quality all over the production. This begins with the raw materials. We have the properties of the raw materials that are controlled. We have the cuttings of the fibers. We have the layup. The layup is done with a laser projector. So you see where you have to place the layer. And everything is documented, and you can have a look. If you give me a wing with a number, I can I can give you plenty of information about the part itself, when, where, what raw materials, the measurements. On the R5, on the registered wings, each ring is measured with a CNC measurement machine. So we have a patch of numbers that we save, and we know in which direction the wing was. Was it a little bit wider, smaller, or something like that? This allows us to give this quality standard that Geislinger has to Levitas, and from Levitas to the customer. And so we try to have the best serial production possible. From the raw materials, employees, processes, we have processes are written down. We have systems where you can have all the layups step by step. So as less deviations as possible.
Okay, that makes sense. And how long did it take you to come up with that? Because not very many other brands are using, if any that I know of, are using that shimming system like you have. Like, how did you come up with that rather than using like shims, like everybody else is just shimming their tail? They're not actually doing what you're doing.
The trimming system, actually, what we see here in the back with these trim screws was already seen from a brand in France, but it doesn't exist anymore. We combined this, that we made this trimming system on the steel fuselage, and put two things together, actually. I think it's a really great system for the you can trim for 0.1 degrees is a quarter of a circle with a screw, so you can be really very exact on trimming, and this is what the top riders need. And Furthermore, it's easier to travel with because you can take all these parts apart and do it in a normal kite bag. So there are other brands who make this in a hole, the back wing, the fuselage, and the front wing. This is also a solution.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a bigger diameter on the fuselage because the carbon isn't as strong as the steel, of course. And if something gets broken, you hit a stone or whatever, so the whole part is damaged. And so with this system, we can exchange parts.
But in this model, your tail wing is fused on it, right? Like it's one piece, so you're actually trimming from further up in the fuse. You're not just trimming your little tail.
Yes. Yeah, so this is fused together, but you can take this apart. So you do you unscrew this from here and put out the bolt, and then it's you can take it apart. So
okay.
To be fair, we have two systems of trimming on the Freeride series. We have the standard shims on the back wing, so it's more obvious to shim with shim than turning the screws. Turning the screw is not easy if you haven't done it a lot of times. So this is where we are something that we are working on. We want to have a device where you have a where you can place some device. You have always a guess about your angle on the back wing, because you cannot look inside the fuselage for normal because it looks like this.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
And on the Freeride, we are still using shims on the back wing.
Okay. Which system, obviously the other system is better for racing. Do you see a lot of other companies in the racing world just using that traditional shimming method that you just showed me now for the Freeride, or are they all using that other one?
There is another trimming system which was invented by Mike's lab from San Francisco. And he actually bends the back part of the fuselage with his shim. He has four screws, and with one screw he uses a different like foils, very thin shims, and he bends it actually over this shims.
Okay.
This is another system which works. Chubanga copied it, and I think, I don't know, Flying Sardine, but these are the main systems. There are traditional systems like this, but I think if you get in serious racing, this either our system or the MaxLab system is the system to choose, actually, because you get a lot of turbulences around screws, and you try to make it as smooth as possible. Yeah.
Let's talk about the interferences, because you don't have any steps on the low pressure side.
So okay.
You don't have any turbulences, and if you use screws, you always will have the heads and not so smooth transitions.
And you also get more interfering sharp edges, and this is just streamlined, so this makes some difference, of course.
Okay, so we've gone over the trimming aspect of things, more into the secret of then making a very fast foil. Like, we've talked about how stiff your connections have to be. Now is it the same thing with all the other aspects? Is there any flex in the wings? Is everything super stiff? Let's love to learn more about that.
Yeah, that's actually a big thing. So where you have the flex and where you want to have it stiff, and we're testing a lot, and that's a really very interesting part. But we won't tell you a lot.
Okay.
What we can tell, that you have different possibilities of influence, having influence on the wing. You can You have the chord length, you have the profile thickness, you have the outline of the wing. You can make it like tapered, or you can make a rake forward, backwards. About the bending, you can make it flat, the wing, it will be softer. You can make it dihedral, then it's stiffer. And there are some points where you can play with. So this is where you have control over the wing, and then you also have the layup of the wing. These are the things you can see or measure, but the layup is the next thing you cannot measure, and you can play with the fiber directions, with the raw materials.
Yeah, there are many parameters where you can play with. I want to show you some more exciting stuff and some
sure.
exciting data. This is the R5 SX, and this is our fastest front wing. Theodor Ramacour did close to 46 knots with this front wing.
Whoa.
And Mathis Chiu on the wing, he picked 38 knots a couple of weeks ago with this on the wing.
Whoa.
So
okay.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah, okay. It makes
it
pretty fast.
It says 500 square, or close to 500 square centimeters. Yeah, and it's a really stable, reliable wing. So it makes you rush for speed.
It was for speed crossings developed, for going fast. And as we have Theo in our team, Theo is known for the Defi wind. And Defi is now with wing and kite and three disciplines. And so we wanted to make a project with Theo using his skills on going fast for a long time. And this is what came out, the R5 SX. And he really loves it, to go fast, to go reaching and pushing. And
the classical R5 is more for the traditional course racing, where you have an upwind part. So in kitefoil, they have about 40% upwind and 60% downwind and reaching. So this is also important for us, for which purpose we design the foils. The R5 SX, as I showed you, is for speed crossing, as Andy told you, or courses which are more more reach and downwind.
All right. So, and then looking at the mast, like, is it better to have a stiff mast versus a thinner but softer mast? Like, all those things now. Let's look at that.
Yeah.
We don't know. This is why we made two masts.
Yeah. So, to my mind, as I said before, the mast is the intersection from the foil to the rider, and the rider to the foil, and mm-hmm. it has to be stiff enough. And definitely if they go very fast, they need a very direct feeling to the foil. And we also realized, especially in kite foiling, where the foil gets heeled a lot, so they go up to 60 degrees heeling on the upwind. We need also a lot of torsion stiffness to prevent ventilation. And yeah, so we're playing with these parameters and try to find the optimum.
And we have two masts, the R5 V1 and the R5 V2. The V1 is a little bit thinner, softer, and the V2 is a little bit thicker and stiffer. But the racers are choosing the V1 because they want to have less drag, and the stiffness for them is not that important. But the stiffness level is so high, and the difference is so small. So you, if you're training on the V1, you won't have any benefit on the V2 against the V1.
Okay, so
our masts are made of ultra high modulus prepreg, and so they are really, really stiff. And
okay.
Yeah, and I think It's on a very high level. The V1 is actually not the soft mass, definitely not.
I think we have the stiffest masts on the market. I don't know the data from the competitors, but would love to have a guy doing measurements and saying, okay, this is the stiffest mast available, and I will bet on mine and ours.
All right, because I guess we got a couple of companies out there that I think it would be really neat to actually get an industry standard for sure. That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
And I would love to give you inputs about how to measure it and how to evaluate the data, because for our prototypes, we measure the stiffness of each mast, and I have now some experience on torsional and bending stiffness, how to measure it, how to compare it, what is important, where can be deviations with your measuring methods. And this is also a point that the kite class is now interested. The kite class in the past only said the foil has to have a certain shape which you registered, but now it goes in a direction where you have to have a certain stiffness of the parts as well. So they are interested in how can you measure the stiffness, and what happens if you have deviations. Back to the stiffness.
Can we talk about that actually? Because that is something that's coming more prevalent, and it's getting into the forums and group and conversations in wing foiling. Because at the start, the masts were pretty soft. The V1 masts were soft, and it was sold at a certain degree. We were told that it was there to help with whip, and it was there to help with all these things. But now masts are becoming stiffer and stiffer, and people are starting to claim that they'll come out with a performance mast, they'll come out with stiffer mast. Oh, yeah, this is the stiffest. But testing, I would love to learn more about how do you specifically find that out?
Yeah. So we use the mast to be, our race masts have tuttle boxes. We clamped the tuttle box in a steel mold, a really rigid steel part. It's like 500 kilo of steel table, because we have these devices from our company behind. So we have a 500 kilo steel block, and we're using M22 screws, 6 pieces, to clamp the mast flat on the tuttle box. And it's also important clamping it and being sure that it always has the same length clamped, because the length you clamp is also important for the stiffness you will measure. Then clamping, having the best possible stiffness of the clamping, because each softness of the clamping will affect the bending. And then we put load on the fuselage, and we're measuring the deflection of the fuselage. One times centered and one times with a certain distance to the torsional axis, and so we can measure the torsional stiffness. And okay. For riding feeling, I would like to compare it with skiing, because Austria is known for its skiing, and I always love to make talk about skiing. So skiing, you will have a soft ski for having fun if you're not so skilled, or if the conditions are difficult. And maybe you would like to have a soft mast in some conditions. But at the end, if you want to control it, you want to have the performance, you want to ride precise, you will always need a stiff mast.
I agree with that. That you need a stiff mast.
So for the average, let's say the average person that just wants to go out and free ride, and like, is there specific conditions that make a stiff mast better? Because my mast is a bit softer, and my foil still rides quite, I still love the way it rides, but I'm just curious as to, are there, like, if I'm getting more into waves, or is it freestyle, or is it...
You can be used to anything.
Exactly. That's where I was getting at. Yeah.
It's not only the stiffness. If you jump on the foil and it feels good, it's good. So stiffness is one part of a whole foil. So if you put another mast on and it's stiffer, it feels completely different. And maybe for this particular foil, it's not good, because the torsional stiffness is less or more, and then the whole foil will react different. But performance-wise and controllability-wise, stiffer is always better.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. And then do you have, you had some new wings that are coming out in the wing foil area. I think you just released your HA850, was it?
710?
Yes.
10?
850,
the HA50, yeah. Yep, this is the one.
Okay.
This is a very versatile front wing. We actually use it not just for winging. For me personally, I'm very light. This is my, my front wing for winging in almost every condition, from 12 knots and beyond. And there are many riders who love this front wing also for kite foiling. So if you have just one wing for two sports, so we would recommend actually this one. And it's the freestyle weapon from Matis Chiu. It has a very strong root. And yeah, he does a lot of backflips and front and all this stuff. And yeah, and it has to be very rigid and strong. Yeah.
And we placed, when you look at the cord, you will see that the cord length on in the root is a little bit wider. So we want to have more lift in the center so it feels more maneuverable. Then you have a more surface at the wingtip.
Okay. And you're saying 12 knots for an 850. Really?
Yeah, it's I'm 60 kilos. So
okay.
With right. 5 square meter, so it works. But Matis Chiu, for example, he can start with the R5 race front wing in 12 knots. So, but he's really
he's a level above
cardio
us.
Animal. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know many people who can going in these conditions with such a small wing, but yeah, he does.
That makes sense. Now, relating this to the new downwind trend, I'm assuming that all this racing heritage and racing background is definitely helping with this new kind of way to enjoy foiling in the water. Or it's not new, but you know, everybody's doing it now.
Yeah. That's a new field for us, actually. But I saw this race, Maui Molokai, and I wondered that the fastest wings were actually in the size of our 710. The 710 has a 94 span and a very high aspect ratio. So it needs some speed to get going, but it's very nice in swell, so it's really, I can't imagine, we never tried it for downwind racing, but if you go down in swell, it feels really nice, and I could imagine that it would work for these sorts of races too, but we haven't tried so far. So,
okay.
Downwind boards are in our R&D lines.
Oh, are they? Oh, exciting, exciting.
There will be something.
There'll be something coming. Oh, that's pretty fun. Did we want to talk about your boards as well and introduce those?
Yes, we can do that. Have to say that our board designer is not here. We also have a board designer who has the same passion like Mario, the same age.
In the boards? Yes, he's a friend of mine and he always designed and shaped boards. And yeah, we came together here in this... Yeah.
We can just have another one for boards. That's fine. Is what else would you love to talk about your wings? We can just talk about it as many things as we want to. So
here we have the HA1600, and it has a span of 111 centimeters, and yeah, an aspect ratio of 8. And yeah, it's a very nice wing in light wind conditions. So also for doc starting, this is what we have two versions of this. One is the Pro, which has a little DHL platform, and this is very agile. But this is the more popular. It's easier to write. Yeah.
If you have more span, the foil will get more locked. It's not so easy to turn anymore, and that's why we made two versions of it: one flat and one curved one. And the curved one is a little bit more locked during maneuvers, because if you have not much power in the wing, you will have a safe transition. And the other one is more flat. It's more agile. You can make the smaller turns. That's
so
why we have two versions.
Your curved down wingtip, you're saying, locks more?
If you have a wing with this shape, you always get... You get a sum vector, and with this shape, the sum vector points a little bit more outwards. And on the level of the board, you have a longer leverage, and this gives you a more roll stability, actually, if it's bent down. So when it's flat, it's more agile around the roll axis, and it's even more agile if you make it dihedral, as we have it on our Pro model.
Oh, so that'll make it snappier side to side. It'll turn easier.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
If you imagine... The lifting vector, if it points more this direction, if it's dihedral, you have a very short leverage to your feet, and it's easy to roll.
Okay.
Even if you have a big span, so this is what we did on. So this wing is pointing slightly upwards. It has a dihedral form. Very slightly, but maybe you can see it. And this makes it feel like a smaller wing, actually, because it's very agile around the roll axis. And this is the HA 1300. And yeah, this is a wing still for light wind for me, for my weight. For medium weight, so it's quite popular. And then we have another wing, the 1100, and I think actually this is the most popular in the HA range, because it suits really a lot of people with different weight and has quite a big range and a nice speed, and also for freestyle, it's a very good compromise between early starts and maneuverability. And yeah, I still love it, but with my weight, I personally prefer the 850.
All right, so that's the HAs. What about the mid aspects? Because there's a lot of companies out there coming out with mids, because you're getting a little bit of in between.
Make it historic.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is, I think it's the most popular free ride kite foil front wing, the Cruiser. We have it in the program since 2015-14.
Oh wow, awesome.
Yeah, and this is still a very, very nice wing. Yeah,
it's so interesting comparing it with the 850, because they have almost the same size but a completely different philosophy. But the Cruiser still has its pros, if you want to make
fast turns, if you want to bank it into the curve. It's really agile and reacts nice, but it's still good control. And for kite foiling, is a very, very nice front foil.
Oh, good and to know.
Due to its low aspect ratio, it has a quite a gentle stall behavior. So I learned, a couple of my friends, I learned kite foiling on this front wing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What's that beauty?
And this is the faster Prada, Aspect 2. It has a size of 600 square centimeters and a little less span. And if you want to jump high, you need more speed, of course. And this is the front wing to go. Still very predictable and nice stall behavior, but faster and more agile than the cruiser.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we start with the Shaka. It's the Shaka S. It has 1,200 square centimeters. This is the wing we recommend to beginners for kite foiling or beginners on a wake foil lift. It's very low aspect actually, and it's has very gentle stall behavior, and so if you start kite foiling, everyone does the same because the people come from twin dip and they press too hard on the back foot, and you do this typical dolphin style, and we found with beginners that they find their balance around the pitch axis easier with this kind of wings, with the low aspect wings. Yeah.
What about and wing foiling with that?
Wing foiling? Wing foiling, beginner wing is the 2000, the 1500, but for beginning wing foiling, we recommend the 2000. It has a span of 98 centimeters and 2000 square centimeters. And we recommended to use it with a 300 square centimeter back wing. And together with this back wing, you find your pitch stability quite easily. So,
okay. So it's rolled down a little bit, so it's a little bit more locked in.
Yeah, it's more locked, definitely more locked. Yeah.
Mm. And you have so much time during the maneuvers, because you can go so slow. And if you're getting slower and slower, you're getting more to the back, more to the back. And there is a certain point where you don't stall, but the drag, because you have so much angle of the front wing, the drag gets so high. So you are falling down because you have zero speed anymore. And this is what you need during maneuvers. If you learn maneuvers with the wing, you're trying to grab the handle. Oh, no, I didn't manage it. The wing is in the wrong position, and you're trying to fix it.
Oh yeah, that's hard.
Especially, I could show you the entrance board. Because it suits to this foil.
Sure, Mary. We could do that. Sure.
So this is the Boom Air. This has 135 liters, this is really good to stand on, as you can imagine, and together with the big front wing, so we experienced a quick flying experience. So.
Mm. Okay. And then it's stable.
135 liters, and the carbon plate here, and you can inflate it up to 15 to 70 psi. So it just gets really quite stiff, and it really works nice for beginners.
Oh, cool. Actually,
this is the set we recommend for starting.
Okay. No, good to know.
Which board are you riding, Mario?
I write the
I was going to ask the, that.
I write the smaller brother, actually, now.
Okay.
So this is the boom air with 95 liters. So as I said, we do a lot of wing foiling here on our lakes, and we don't get steady conditions usually. So we have gusty winds, and sometimes you have a gust with 20 knots, and then you have 10 knots again. And so I experienced, I appreciate to have a little bit more volume to get going quicker when the gust comes. So I really love this board. And actually, when I started winging after all these years of kite surfing and kite foiling, I felt a little bit of resistance of getting big boards again. So because I have a small car, and with this boom air, yeah, it's easy to travel. So just air out. And this also has the possibility of for foot straps in the front and in the back. So, and the
what
weight
are the dimensions
is,
on it?
It's 160 long and wide, 60 centimeters.
Okay.
So it's not that wide than other boards this size. And I really think it's a very good compromise.
To have one technology, to have one supplier network. And that's why we decided to go to Portugal. And we're very happy with this rigid boards. They are a little bit different to what's available on the market. We are using a closed cell core. So that's the most benefit for the customer. Everyone knows hitting a board against a rock or something happens, then you're always scared that your board fills up with water. And if you have a closed cell core, it's minimum heavier, but you are not afraid of any water in your board. And also the shape-wise, we go a little bit in a different way, but we see now that other companies are going also in our directions. So we want to have a flat bottom to give you the maximum performance with low speed. And then once you're flying, the board is not that important anymore. But we try to focus on the takeoff to have a less drag bottom for takeoff.
Okay, fair enough. And what are you riding, Andres? What's your favorite setup?
Kiting or winging?
Both. We can do both.
Yeah. On winging, I prefer the 75 liters. As Mario said, we are mostly on our lakes, and the wind is on and off. So you need a certain volume, and I'd like to go on the 1100 because it gives me more possibility to go on light wind. I'm not that skilled on pumping. I don't want to exhaust myself on doing a long takeoff. I want to have fun and to go for a session for an hour, for 1.5 hours, and not to get exhausted in 15 minutes by trying to pump the board.
Fair enough.
15 seconds. So I'd like to have a safe setup when I'm going for winging. Completely different setup for kiting, because kiting you always have the power of the kite. And there I go to a small setup like the Exo Pocket strapless. This is,
yeah, that thing looked pretty sweet actually.
The pocket board.
Yeah.
You can mount straps, so you can jump. And
yeah,
this is small for it.
Awesome.
So easy, so playful. It's light. It feels like a sports car.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that thing looks awesome. Yeah, my brother kite foils, and he's a strapless kiteboarder. And the board he has right now is like, it's a racing board, but it's much thicker. So I was looking to see if I can get him something like this would be pretty fun for him.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It would just give him a little bit more maneuverability, because the thick boards are really hard to rail to get it going. Like he had a thick older race board, and just to get that thing to roll over how he water starts, he found it a little
bit
harder.
Yeah, they're too wide. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's another thing, when it's very long, you get this swing weight, the mass inertia, when you foil, and this when a board is too big or has too much volume in the front or too much weight in the front, it doesn't feel nicely around the pitch axis. This is my experience.
And if you have a look at the kite race board, you will see that it's kind of a V shape and it has a certain drag stability during the takeoff. And if you touch down, the most important thing on the kite race board are the edges. So you don't want, if you have a touchdown, you don't want to have the board going up or downwind. You want to have a touchdown and popping out easy. This is why there is that certain shape of the rails. But for a standard user, it's not easy to ride because during takeoff it's harder. And so I will recommend using the match. This is the board where I land on. It has more length. So okay. If you have a touchdown, you have plenty of surface. You won't dive. You can go fast without foiling easily. It's super nice for beginners.
Okay, fair enough. All right, cool. Well, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for showing me all this awesome gear.
So while we're talking, one more thought came to my mind.
Sure.
About the safety. So I think almost every winger pops his wing, has popped his wing in the past. And the AHA series, they have these tips, the rounded tips. And of course, if you smash it really down, it's no guarantee, but it's way more friendly to the wing, and not only to the wing, also to your body too. I know a lot of people who, while they train maneuvers or so, they fell on the tips from time to time, and they say this sort of tips saved their life a couple of times. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you are not falling, you are not progressing.
Yeah, that's very true.
This is what I say myself. So yeah, we have also the round wingtip on the 710 to have a little bit of safety.
Interesting. And it doesn't do anything regarding like
hydrodynamics?
Nothing yet?
Yeah, of course. When you have wingtips like this, if you get high angles of attack, you have reduced pressure here compared to when it would be flat. It reduces the angle of attack, and therefore the pressure, and therefore the vortex on the tip. This is the other thing, but the main thing is that you get not killed with the pointy tip.
Good enough. And for those just getting into the sport,
yeah.
Definitely. Just not getting killed might be a great place to start. Might be a great place to start. Cool. Hey, Andres, what was your first wing foil experience like? Could we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I was with the pros, and it looked so easy, and all the pros forced me to try it. And the only time I had free time was in the evening where the wind dropped a little bit, but all the pros were there and they were giving me the gear, assembling everything. And I had on my really first foil session, I had a race board. So I know how hard it is to ride a race board and the cruiser.
Yeah.
And the wind dropped. I was not skilled. I was not able to control the kite proper. So all the parameters that didn't make me comfortable, but at the end it was super, super cool, super interesting to have the experienced riders next to me that give me
awesome.
At the second the feedback, how can I improve, what did I do wrong, look at this, and this is how you can progress, that you have a sparring partner, someone who gives you a feedback. Where you have to look at, because if you do always the same things, you won't progress. So out of your comfort zone, try to crash.
Okay. All right, guys, is there anything else you want to cover for our intro session? We talked about a whole bunch of different and went to a bunch of different topics, but there's a lot of information there for people.
What's next? What brings the future? Next is the championship in ring foil racing, hopefully.
Okay.
In Brazil?
Brazil, yeah. Last two stop. Fingers crossed. Mattis is leading at the moment, but there's one more stop to go. And hopefully he can defend his title and he will be champion again.
Hey, hope so.
And then looking forward to the February registration of the kite racing foils. We are now at the stage where we have plenty of prototypes, plenty of ideas, material to test, feedbacks from the team rider. We have the advantage that we have the best team riders available at the moment. So everybody is looking at us. We have a super motivated team that gives us feedback, want to test, to train everything. They are taking influence in this whole process of developing foils. So now at the moment, it's like a big increase of material feedbacks and everything. And in the next step, it has to go more into one direction. And we're looking forward to have a trial where we want to choose the best foil. So this is not for the team rider, but for every racer. This is the foil he should use to be Olympic champion 2028 in LA. If this is done, this is February, March. The next big thing for us will be the Olympics in Paris. I bought tickets. So hopefully I see a Levitus rider winning. Also, fingers crossed, we have the world champion, female and male, at the moment. We're super happy with all our team, super professional, enthusiastic. They deserve the title. So hopefully it happens in Paris in August. And after August, we're going to introduce the next race foil.
Oh, okay. We'll have to have you back on to chat about it. Yeah, that would be super fun.
Definitely.
Gray hair.
I know.
Black eyes.
A lot of testing. Oh, yeah. I can't imagine all the work and prep that goes into releasing something like that.
Yeah. Everything is open and we can modify every step in the production. We can choose the layup, we can choose the cutting, we can choose the temperatures, resin, fibers, everything. But at a certain point, we have to say, this is the process, this is what it's made out of it and how we produce it. And then we have to bring it into a serial production. So this is the next difficult step, freezing everything and making the 100 fastest foils.
Okay. Well, fun things ahead. Lots of fun things ahead. Well, guys, want to say thanks a lot for just introducing and having this awesome conversation with me today and introducing your brand to so many different people out here who might not have seen Levitas as much. But just seeing all the technology and all the drive, I'm stoked to try at AWSI next year. So it'd be really fun to try that stuff out at event site and see what's there. I think that'd be really fun.
Thanks for the possibility. We will be there definitely. And for me personally, all I heard, I have to go there for sure.
It's a pretty fun event. And we had two or three good days. There was some really good swell. It was the first time I had tried an 850 mid aspect and some really rolling swell because the current is coming in a different way. Like, we could definitely get a few fun days of riding before the event. So if you do go down, let me know. So it'd be fun to hook up and do some riding. And Mario, it's great to meet you as well and learn more about just that whole foil design aspect. There's so many people talking, so many people trying to figure out where it's going. How is it going to help my riding? So it was really cool to talk to you as well.
Thanks. The pleasure is on my side. So thank you for having us.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. And we'll see you next time.
See See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.